Welcome to the E-Commerce Society podcast, where you can learn how to start, grow, scale, or launch your dream e-commerce and product-based business, all without ever relying on ads or social media. Each week, you will hear step-by-step, tangible, and fluff-free strategies to help you skyrocket your sales and traffic, gain more visibility for your business, and create those mega loyal customer super fans, which you totally need. Hi, I'm Carrie Fitzgerald, your cheerleader and hype girl. I went from corporate marketing in the education space to building, scaling, and selling my own product-based business. And today, my work and mission is to help founders just like you create and scale the world's most magnetic brands and turn them into fucking empires. So whether you're thinking of starting a product biz or scaling yours, this podcast is the secret sauce to making all those dreams come true. So grab a coffee or grab a champagne and let's dive into it. Welcome to this week's episode of E-Commerce Society Podcast. This week we have Christine McDaniel. She has actually been on the podcast before at the end of 2022, where she talked all about the process of selling your business. And today we have her back on the podcast, and she is talking a little bit more about what to do before you decide to sell your business. So you might be thinking of selling. You might have heard through the grapevine that selling your business is definitely an opportunity for you to make a lot of money in an exit. And you're kind of wondering, okay, what do I do now? How do I prepare for it? So Christine is here and she is giving amazing feedback on and advice on how to do this. And she also talks about her new book that she just launched, which I cannot wait to read. So anyway, a little bit about Christine. She is the principal and lead business intermediary of the Magnolia Firm, and she's the founder of the company. And they mainly work with digital online businesses. But if you are an e-commerce business, you can still get support through the company just to get some consulting and things like that. And they help business owners achieve the perfect exit. And they're on a mission to revolutionize a very dated industry. And she has literally founded, grown, acquired, and sold 20 of her own companies across multiple verticals, including a successful exit from a tech company in 2021. And she's here sharing all the things about helping entrepreneurs step into the next phase of their life with their dream business exit. So grab a coffee, grab a wine. It's going to be an amazing one. Welcome to the podcast, Christine. I'm so happy to chat with you again. Thank you for being here.
No, it's going to be so much fun, Carrie. Thanks for having me on a second time.
Absolutely. So you were on last 2022, I think it was like October. We talked about how to sell your business if you're wanting to list your business and have a successful exit. So that was a great conversation. Today, we're going to kind of flip the switch and talk a little bit about more how do you prep when you want to sell your business. So really, really excited to dive in. Before we dive in, if you want to just introduce yourself and just remind everyone a little bit about you, because we have a lot of new listeners now, which is great.
Great. I know. I can't believe it's been that long since the last time I came on. That's crazy. No. Time flies when you're having fun. So I just actually had my 20-year anniversary of being an entrepreneur. lots of businesses, lots of exits, lots of fun times, crazy times, and lots of amazing teams. So yeah, serial entrepreneur. My first company was cleaning company. A lot of them were service-based businesses. Mm-hmm. Had a software business prior to this one, a tech company. And yeah, started the Magnolia Firm about 2.5 years ago. And love helping people with one of the biggest sales of their life, right? It's just such a fun time. So that's me.
That's amazing. And also, that's amazing that you've had businesses for 20 years. That's insane.
Different ones. Usually yeah. It's 5 years a piece.
Okay. I love that. It's good to switch it up. I think, like I was telling you before, I'm in a stage of like wanting to just go a totally different direction, and I get bored easily. And I've been doing, you know, e-commerce and all this stuff for 8 years now. And I'm kind of like, okay, ready to do something new and, you know, exciting. So anyway, okay, cool. So I know we are talking about how to, you think you want to sell a business, or you start hearing about other people selling businesses, and you might start to think, okay, I could sell a business too. I could make some good money. There's so many things that you can do. What are the simple, basic things, especially if you have a smaller business? What do you do to start? What do you start thinking about? How do you prep your business to make the most amount of money? and just share anything that that's relevant.
Yeah. And I know it's going to be in the show notes, and I'm excited that we just launched our book called Get Acquired. Me and Lauren worked on it for like 8 months. And then I did the audio recording recently. And so, yeah, we're going to give out the PDF and the digital version and the audio. And then of course it's on Amazon also. So that we wanted to write, especially for people with smaller businesses that aren't going to be able to have an advisor do their transaction for them. It's literally A to Z. You can take this book, you can sell your business on your own, and it teaches you what to do to prep, of course. And so let's see what they need to do now. So I'm going to reverse engineer it, because I mean, most entrepreneurs, we never had an enter strategy. so planning an exit strategy, like, don't feel guilty. Most of us don't. Like, we're just kind of moving so quickly that it's not like, oh, let's have this like drawn out, plan to exit in 1 to 2 years. Like, it's very rare I even see that, even with larger companies. Like, that's just not reality, right? Just like they jumped in, they're going to jump out. So, but if you can have a good year prior, I think that's really great to start implementing the things I'm going to go over right now. Reputation, massive. At a spa, we gave out free massages. We had 5 stars on Yelp, which is very, and a lot of reviews. And for a service-based business, you guys know it's very hard to have 5 stars all the time, the whole time, 5 years. But that's because I would do whatever it took to make sure people were happy. And so your guys' reputation, please, please, please protect that. Any press or awards, apply for awards. I've got some pretty big business awards and business awards, because I took the time to apply, and they even would tell me after the fact, like, hey, we didn't have as many applications. I wasn't up against as many people as I thought I was, right? So I think to do that is huge, because you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to win that award. And that happened a few times to me, and then we did. And I was like, whoa, this is great. So take the time to do that. I would say, your systems, obviously. Again, it's chaos in the beginning. I've had so many startups. I get it. That's the part I love. But there's no system. There's like, you're flying by the seat of your pants. Like, we have a university student now that I'm mentoring, and it's a paid internship in the firm. And he's a very organized person. And he's like, oh, where's the system for this? Or how do we do it? And I'm just like, can you make a system? Or like, we launch a new, or I'll change, like, okay, that's not working. We need to change very quickly. So you guys having your, SOPs, which are standing operating procedures, dialed. Let's see here, having contracts if you can. I know it's a lot of e-commerce people listening, so I'll try to like target towards that. Mm-hmm. So contracts aren't going to be as, that service. But let's flip to like a subscription box. Like, if you guys can get them prepaying a year, prepaying 6 months, I know a lot of you guys already do discounts, but like any cool things to try to get that year, right? Because that's the future recurring revenue that a buyer is going to be like, oh my God, they have this much money still coming in. And when you exit, they're going to get that money, of course. And then you're going to get the money for any like remaining inventory you have, et cetera. What else can you guys do in advance? There's so much. That's why we wrote a book on it. That's a plan. dialing your profit in towards the end. So I understand in the beginning you don't have much profit because you're reinvesting in the business over and over and over. But when you're a year out, that profit needs to be dialed. I mean, I will slice every expense possible, the unnecessary stuff out of the P&L to try to make sure that profit is super strong. And that the business is still growing, but there's just things you see, subscriptions you're paying for, softwares you're paying for that you're probably not even using, to cancel those. So those are the biggies.
Okay. What about someone, because I know this is what someone asked me, what if a business, they have a really, and I love that you, and I want to come back to the reputation thing, because when I was thinking about this episode, and whenever people ask me about how do I sell a business? I'm not an expert at selling. I sold one business. And so I went through the process. I can just give my feedback on my experience, but I never considered reputation, reviews, it's important, but I never thought that would be something that would be an important thing when you're wanting to sell. It makes sense, but I'm always like, okay, profit, profit, profit. All they care about is profit. But let's say there's someone who she grew a really big business, very well known, like 100,000 Instagram followers. If you Google the brand, pop-ups, pictures, lifestyle pic, press, like everything, like the whole nine yards. But due to personal reasons or maybe possible burnout, she sort of took a backseat to the business over the last year. And so her profit is not good for the last year. But up until then, solid business. I think maybe, I'm not sure about how much profit and margins that she made, but definitely I would say a 7+ figure in sales per year. What should someone do when they're in that position where they've built this business, they've built up the reputation, the sales, the customer acquisition channels, the traffic, the brand awareness, but then they've just, for whatever reason, personal things kick in and they just have to take a backseat for the year. Is that a business that people will still buy? Will they buy the brand, or does the lack of, let's say they don't have inventory and they don't really have profit for a year, does that make a huge difference? So I'd love just to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah. You just reminded me of another thing, a super important, probably one of the biggest before to plan for the exit, is to work yourself out of the company. Do not just kind of start removing yourself slowly as the face of the company. Whether you make another team member kind of more the face, like they don't want to look, a buyer's not, if they look at the Instagram, the website, et cetera, and it's like your face all over the thing, you're going to have to stay with an earnout. You're going to have to stay a year or two until they kind of fade in. So I'm glad you mentioned that because I didn't want to forget that one. So that's super important. But to your example, so right now, so it's definitely a seller's market without a doubt, but the keywords are profitable and either stable or increasing. If the revenue's gone down significantly, there's a term called, they don't want to call, catch a falling knife, right? Like there's one right now where the revenue decreased in the last couple months and the person's like, that's a falling knife. And then the owner was like, well, I'll put the knife back in my pocket and I'm taking it off the market, you know, which is funny. I was like, that's a great term. I was like, yeah, take it off until the revenue gets back up, right? But an acquirer, does she have team? Does she have employees? Well, maybe not anymore. Okay.
No, I don't think anymore. Yeah.
The brand, I mean, again, it's a year, right? So it's hard to pick up something that's kind of been stagnant for a year. There's not much value buying a brand, even for an acquirer, because they're going to use their brand. There's no team. Maybe they'll buy inventory, pennies on the dollar. So yeah, that one's unfortunate. Everybody listening, don't ever get to that point, right? So you want to try to exit before. If you're massively burned out, it's super hard to sell your business because the passion's gone. You know, we've got one right now. You know, most of our sellers, it's funny, they're having their first or second child, even the guys. So that's why they're younger, they're in their 30s. They want to be more parent at home, stop working crazy hours and start a new venture. So those are legit reasons. It's like, but I have one that keeps saying he's burned out on the sales calls. I'm like, stop saying you're burned out. Like he's mainly burned out on the entire industry because he's been in the industry for so long. Digital marketing agency, you know, he's with another agency to start his own. So he's just burned out on the agency world. I'm like, stop saying that. I'm like, you have a 2-year-old, you have a 4-year-old, you're working, you know, at this other business now, like those legit reasons. Yeah. So don't say you're burned out, you guys, and try not to try to sell when you're already burned out or you've got health issues because the business is going to start falling apart without you.
Okay. That's good to know. And, you know, I think there's a few people I know who kind of had that position where they've grown this business and it works so well. And then for whatever reason, burnout, life happens, a medical issue with a kid, and then it just falls off the table. And, you know, it's unfortunate, especially for the person I'm asking about, because she has built this incredible brand. I mean, the kind of brand that you look at and just think, oh my gosh, I wish I could build a company like that. So I'm sure she'll figure something out, but it's good to know that if that happens, then, you know, you either have to get it back on track or I don't know. So
it's like completely stagnant, like no sales. Okay. I mean, she could put the word out. I kind of like asking around, you know, friends, business community. Do you know anybody that might be interested? It doesn't hurt. I know. I hate when I see businesses go to business. It kills me.
I know. And I was telling you before the call, you know, someone on Instagram that I'm connected with, I helped her start her business and she I mean, I'm talking about one of the best e-commerce websites I've ever seen. She has taken so much effort and care with product photography and getting lifestyle images, and I mean, top notch. And she mentioned on Instagram that she was closing her business. And so I DM'd her and I was like, why would you close it? You have to sell it. And I've become, it's like, I don't do it because I'm trying to make money off them. I'm literally like, I went through the process of selling a business. And even if you don't make a lot of money, you should sell it for something, you know, do yourself the favor and try to sell it, because someone else can look at what you've done and they can identify, okay, here are the, you've built this cool brand, but you haven't done any of this, or you haven't done SEO, and like, gosh, you're getting no traffic or whatever. People can identify how they could grow the business in a different way, and they would be happy to buy it because you've done all the foundational things that most people don't want to do. They don't want to like build the website and create the product and source inventory. Like, you've done all the hard shit. Why would you just close it? Okay. So anyway, that kind of kills me a little bit when I see that, because it's just a missed opportunity. And even if it's like listing it on a Flippa, or I know Biz Buy Sell is the website platform that the broker I worked with sold on. And, you know, like, I had a great experience. It was very seamless. So anyway, that can be frustrating, I'm sure, for you too, when you hear people just closing a business.
Flip is a great one. Biz Buy Sell is a great one to list on. Empire Flippers. So you as the seller, mm-hmm. and again, that's what we teach in the book. Like, you don't have to have an M&A advisor or a business broker. And they, you know, we take a big cut. And so sometimes it doesn't even make sense for my, you know, for the people selling a business, because it's too much money, right? It doesn't make sense for their sale. So mm-hmm. you guys can list on those platforms. You don't need an advisor to do that. And I do hourly consulting. So some people reach out when they need help and then just book an hour with me in any industry. You know, we specialize in digital-based businesses, our firm, not e-com. So, but I still consult people that have e-com businesses.
Okay. I was looking at your website at some of your sales, and I know that you definitely have helped sell subscription boxes and other e-commerce things. So yeah, if you're looking for a little bit more support, or you have questions, definitely book a strategy session. It's those kind of things can just help you feel unstuck when you're looking to get a little bit of support, but not, you know, splashing out for like a one-on-one coach for 6 months or something. So I personally love strategy sessions. So I'm glad that you offer those. I know when I go to sell my next business, I know I'll definitely be, you know, coming your way. So I'm excited for that.
Thank you.
Future business seller again. Okay, cool. Let's kind of jump back to, you were talking about earlier the things that people can prep for selling. And you mentioned reputation, reviews. What about things like press? I'm assuming that's going to be a big one, but how much importance does the reputation, the reviews, PR play into a business sale? Like, would someone pay more because you have that really good brand awareness, or you have good reputation digitally speaking?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course people use multiples, you know, oh, your business is worth 3x, you know, net profit. But there's so, you could have a crappy business with a bad reputation, then you could have a good one. And why would, that's not fair that the multiple's the same, right? So what I do is I use that as a baseline, and then I build upon it. Okay, they've had a team that's been there forever. You know, the owner's willing to stay on part-time. They have this incredible reputation. So you just start stacking the value on top of that. So yeah, I mean, is it a significant amount? You know, I mean, my spa, we got a huge, it should have been a 2 to 3x multiple, and it was about a 4.5. And I know it's because those five-star reviews, and that we were the number one spa, you know, in San Diego, and our team was solid and our systems were dialed, and lots of reasons that I'd built in those 5 years. So yeah, I'm telling you, and your company grows quicker. Like, it was just so easy for us to scale and gain clients because of our reputation. I mean, everybody would bring it up.
That's good to know. And you mentioned teams a few times. So is having a team member a really important asset to have if you're wanting to sell a business? I know there's a lot of people who they are doing all the things themselves, but what kind of team member would be a valuable thing to have if you're looking to sell?
I mean, e-com, you've got somebody, you know, handling kind of all the customer service and the admin and the distribution. And, you know, especially if you're using 3PL, like they're managing the operations. Let's say that. So, I mean, an operations person is pivotal. as the owner, you're kind of overseeing things. Right. Maybe you're doing the sales and marketing and the strategy. That's a perfect, perfect place to be. If you're a sole proprietor, kind of one man show, which nothing was wrong with that. And especially with women, they've built a lot of lifestyle businesses where they're doing it. They're making good money. They get to be, you know, stay-at-home moms. And I think that's super important. And I love that. And so, yeah, I think, so don't be hard on yourself. There might be people listening like, oh no, like my business sucks because it's just me. Like, no, not the case at all. Like, not the case at all. So, but if you want to exit, you'd have to have a team. I mean, there's nothing you're really selling. It's, yeah, it's harder to sell. not okay. Impossible, but.
Okay. That makes sense. And what about, so I know that you've pivoted your agency a little bit more towards, you said digital products or digital brands. Talk a little bit about like, who are your people that you try to get on as selling clients today? Is it like more SaaS companies, people that are course creators, business coaches, like kind of talk a little bit about who you kind of market to today.
Yeah. Again, the business courses and the classes and all that, those are more like somebody is the face of the business, right? And a buyer is going to look at a business and this is how they're going to decide. They're going to say is like, okay, I'm going to pay $500,000 for this business. Or like, if I went and started from scratch, like what would it be? Or like, okay, it's a coach selling this course, like they're the face. Like I'm never going to be able to replace that person. So for our business, the ones we're doing are all digital-based software companies. Most of them are agencies. So the ones that are really hot are the CRM integration agencies, implementation. So these are the agencies you hire. And these are big corporations hire them to implement Salesforce into their business or implement HubSpot, right? And customize it. Cause you can't just like take it off the shelf, you know, and one of them, he's in his 20s and he just exited for $4 million in December. We did the transaction you know, but his clients were like Experian and Pepsi. And again, they have to hire his agency, his team to implement. So CRM integration agencies are huge for us. I love those. Digital marketing agencies, an iOS app we just sold for $15 million. We graphic design firms. Yeah. And then digital graphic design firms and then production content studios, which is brick and mortar a little bit because the studio, but the team's remote. So those are the ones we're doing. So, and those are my wheelhouse.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Because I know a lot of people listening here, they sell product, but a lot of people are, I see a lot of people that have product-based businesses that are slightly moving into mentoring, coaching, course creation, some agency work because they're taking their expertise of like growing a candle business or, you know, growing a balloon. What do they call those balloons that people bring at parties? They do those like fun designs. I'm blanking on what they would be called, but I know one of those people that I used to work with, she's now starting a, you know, coaching course creation type of thing to help people start balloon companies. So I think it's interesting to see people take their knowledge of product or physical product and then move into the digital space or, you know, but I can understand too, for people that are the face of the business, that could be kind of a problem in some capacity. So that's good to know. And that's amazing of all the companies that you work with and that you've helped sell. Like you said, 14 million for an app.
Yeah. 15 million was the app and it just closed a couple weeks ago. It was a kids educational app. Yeah. It was we moved up market quick as a firm. We're only 2.5 years in and it's been such a fun ride. And again, the e-com and the smaller business, you know, when I started, I was doing some of them were friends of mine and like 300K, 500K transactions. And it's just like everybody said, once I move up market, the transactions will actually be easier. And they're right. But again, and that's why I wrote the book, because then I'm leaving everybody behind that doesn't sell for at least $1 million. Like that would be my bare minimum, you know, client we could work with is at least selling for $1 million.
Okay. That's amazing. You know, I have a list of app ideas in my phone. I have a business ideas app. I'm sorry, a business ideas folder in my Google Drive. And I just add to it constantly because I'm always coming up with ideas. But one of them is a business idea that my husband could start with my almost 9-year-old son because he's very into, you know, technology. He sees all the stuff I'm doing. He's already building websites for selling physical product. Like, he's 8 years old. He's like this little mogul. But I'm like, you guys need to create a kids, look at all the crappy kids games and look at what people are complaining about and then create something really good. So I'm going to come back. I mean, you've inspired from the last recording I told you earlier, you've totally had an influence on me wanting to start a SaaS company. And now I'm going to have to go back to my husband and say, okay, $15 million kids educational game. Let's go on an app. So I love it. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Of course.
So obviously your book, tell everyone a little bit about the book. I know that you talked briefly about how it can help people and all that, but you said it was kind of like an A to Z helping people that maybe have smaller companies want to list. Is that kind of the ideal customer or the ideal buyer for the book?
I mean, even a large, you know, and we really, even large businesses can use the book, but, and we dumbed it down for, there are so many acronyms in this industry that I even have to Google some of them. I'm like, what does this even stand for? So like, we wanted to make it very crystal clear that anybody, because I make the mistake sometimes, I just throw out, like yesterday I even said SBA loan and they're just like, what's SBA mean? You know, Small Business Administration. But it's just like a bad habit of like me just throwing out these little terms. So we have a chart and we like break them all down in the book. And so, yeah, just, we didn't hold back. So my pet peeve, I've read all the books and typically they're written by business brokers of like, you know, how to buy a business, you know, A to Z, how to sell your business A to Z. It is not A to Z because they like purposely kind of pitch themselves within the book, which we did not do whatsoever. We're very cognizant of that. And then, or they're like holding back. They're just like, well, or they're making it sound super complicated. Well, it's really hard. So me and Lauren like collect it. And she kind of, there were points where I'm like, oh, maybe just like sneak us in here. And she's just like, no, that's not what we're looking to do. Like, just, I mean, they know we wrote it. And if they need help, they'll reach out. Like, we don't need, you know, we get clients easily. So so that's the book. Yeah, get acquired. And you know, my other pet peeve is when the author doesn't read the book. And so I got a studio and I was like dreading it because I used to have a speech impediment really bad, especially as a kid, especially if I read word for word out of a book, it gets really bad. But I actually think the content was fun for me to read and it like flowed. So it just took like 4 hours to record. I think it's an hour. I think it's a 2 hour listen. So yeah.
Okay. That's amazing. I'm definitely going to buy the book. So I'm excited.
I said, I'm going to give it to you for free.
Aww. I can support you. But thank you. That's so nice. Yeah. That sounds like an awesome book. I love books too, just for the tactical, like step by step. I think more people need things like that because the small things just get really overwhelming and, you know, you get stuck on one little thing. I know that's what I'm going through with the SaaS company I'm starting. I'm like, okay, this is all the things they're telling you to do. But then when you actually go to do it, the information that you're getting is so vague and it actually doesn't really, it just makes your head spin with more questions. So I think having a book that just breaks it down in an easy way, like step by step by step and doesn't hold things back, I think is what people need. So I think, I'm super excited for you. Maybe just one more question. So based on your experience when you were working with the product or e-commerce businesses, like if you could describe the dream business, what would it look like? If you're in e-commerce or subscription or whatever, like what would the dream business look like for someone to want to buy it? Does that make sense?
It does. So e-com in general is one-offs. So you always want recurring revenue. There's this like magical R words, which is remote-based, recurring revenue, removal of owner. Like those are some R words that we love to see. So something that's really not even running with you at all. Nobody's gonna believe you as the owner. I work 0 hours a week. There's no such thing. So if they're working like 5 to 10, that's kind of a sweet spot. You know, they're working 5 to 10, everything's automated, recurring revenue, no low churn. So if your churn means, you know, you're signing up, but you're losing a client, you're signing up, losing clients. So that's measurable and people are going to look at the churn. That's one of the first questions they ask. What else? Okay. I think that's a really good company. And the owner's not the face of the company. It's a strong brand with a strong reputation. That would be a great business.
So if the owner is in the face of the company, how do they humanize it? Because one thing I always talk about is humanizing a business, having people or a team or faces that represent the brand in some capacity, especially maybe not when you're a huge business, but when you're early on, to create connection and like building trust. So if someone is growing a business, they have it for a couple of years, how do you remove the founder's face from it? Like, do you just have people that are team members that come on, or do you just post more like customer created content, or how would that work?
I was going to throw another acronym out there, the UGC. So user generated content is massive. It's actually working really well on ads right now. So I think that's huge. I think taking your team, you know, intertwining them on there. And again, you could be on there, just not constantly. So you're right. You want to humanize a brand no matter what. So that I'm glad you gave that example.
Okay. I like that. That's helpful. Okay. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Christine. It was so nice to talk to you and just get a little bit of insight into what are the best things that you can do to prep your business if you want to sell it, and just some other tangible tips. And your book sounds absolutely incredible. We will definitely link all that information in the show notes, and I'm excited to read it. I think it's going to be amazing. But yeah, tell everyone where they can find you, and remind them one more time where they can buy the book or listen to the book online.
Yes. So I went one last point. I totally forgot. This was important. So what if the buyer of the business is shy and doesn't want to be the face? Then, and this happened, right? So the owner was face of the company, and then we kind of faded her out successfully of the face. She sold. And then the buyer's extremely shy, and I don't want to be the face. And so she hired somebody. Brand ambassadors are great too, right? So you can have brand ambassadors. Mm-hmm. But this person hired somebody to work in the company and be the face. And it worked really, really well, which is cool. So yeah, for our book, so I'm great on LinkedIn. You can reach out, you know, on LinkedIn if you want a free copy of the book. As far as our firm, and we give generous referral checks. Carrie knows. She sent us a great client, and then we sent her some Christmas money. And so if you guys know of digital-based businesses that want to sell, you can send them our way. But yeah, it's the Magnolia Firm, Instagram. You can Google us, and we're on everything.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. So nice to see you again, and just be able to be inspired from you one more time for me personally. And I hope other people listening understand that your business can be worth something, and please don't close it. Always try to sell it. So thank you, Christy, for being on here again.
Thanks, Carrie. Good seeing you again.
You too. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you love this episode, please go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and then take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram stories. Tag me in it at Carrie A. Fitzgerald. My name is in the show notes. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys next week.